Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock on Tuesday, August 16th, year 2011. You are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll find out about tomorrow's observance of Landscape Architecture Day with our guest George Schaff. We'll also learn about an upcoming voice workshop for people recovering from a stroke and Parkinson's disease with guest Rosanna Metzger. We'll also find out about this Saturday's Nifty 50 relay with organizer Keith Levy. And Wayne Hicks and rally supervisor will be here to get us ready to go back to school. That writer's Almanac Bird Note Music and more today on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight looks like rain with low temperatures around 49 degrees, south winds to 10 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. Forecast for Wednesday, cloudy skies with a chance of rain and high temperatures around 57 degrees. Forecast for Thursday, mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A U.S. senator known for his work with Northwest tribes has been laid to rest. As KWSO's William Robbins reports, Senator Mark O. Hatfield made a significant impact in Indian country.
Over 600 people attended services for the late Senator Mark O. Hatfield Saturday in Beaverton, Oregon. His career in politics spanned over 30 years, including 2 terms as Oregon's governor and 30 years in the United States Senate before he retired in 1997. During his service to the nation, Hatfield led the way in the restoration of many Oregon tribes. In 1976, Hatfield introduced what became the Siletz Tribal Restoration Act. He was also instrumental in restoring the federal status of other tribes in western Oregon and the Klamath tribes in southern Oregon. Michael Mason is a lobbyist for the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs. He says on the national front, the senator led a sweeping Senate investigation of continuing injustices to Indians in the 1970s.
You look at, you know, starting in 1976, and while this was a national effort, he chaired the American Indian Policy Task Force that then led to the United States Senate reviving the Senate Indian Affairs Committee, which had just not existed for decades.
Hatfield had suffered from health problems in recent months. Family members say the former senator recently returned home from a hospital in Bethesda, Maryland, after a long illness to be closer to his family. Hatfield passed away on Sunday, August 7th, at the age of 89. In Warm Springs, Oregon, I'm William Robbins.
This month, residents of Alaska's Pribilof Islands commemorated the 100th anniversary of the Northern Fur Seal Treaty. KUCB's Alexandra Gutierrez reports on the events and explains what the environmental law means to Aleut people.
For 3 days straight, the people of St. Paul, Alaska, celebrated the centennial of the Northern Fur Seal Treaty with singing, praying, feasting, and dancing. That document hasn't been binding for decades, but it was the first international wildlife conservation agreement in history, and it put restrictions on commercial sealing in order to save the species from extinction. It also guaranteed native subsistence rights. While the once lucrative market for fur seal pelts disappeared long ago, the Aleuts of the Pribilof Islands still conduct a small subsistence harvest of the young male seals, using that meat through the winter months. Aqualina Lestinkoff directs the tribal government of St. Paul, and she organized the celebration. At the groundbreaking for a monument to honor Aleut sealers, she stressed the importance of conserving both a species and a culture.
I hope that we have another 100 years in front of us. I hope there are people here eating seal a few 100 years from now.
It may take a lot of work to make sure that happens. In recent years, the fur seal population has been dropping at a rate of about 6%. Jason Bordakovsky worked as a sealer in his youth, and he remembers when there were millions of seals instead of just a few 100,000.
The seals are declining. They really are, you know, and it's scary.
Now, the Aleut community of St. Paul is doing what it can to change this trend by conducting marine debris cleanups and pushing for more fur seal research. Because the thought is, it can be saved again in time for the bicentennial. Reporting from St. Paul, I'm Alexandra Gutierrez.
During this month in 2009, Dr. Joseph Medicine Crow received the Medal of Freedom. The Crow Man received America's highest civilian honor from President Obama during a White House ceremony. Medicine Crow was awarded for his service in World War II and his many cultural contributions. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, with additional funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
If you are a Native American who experienced discrimination from the USDA while trying to get a farm loan, you could get a payment of up to $50,000 or more. There will be meetings in locations around the country between July and December 2011 where you can get free legal help filing a claim. More details and a full schedule of meetings is available at IndianFarmClass.com or 1-888-233-5506.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:06, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our first guest is George Schaff, as the Parks and Landscape Superintendent for the City and Borough of Juneau, here to talk about Landscape Architecture Day, which is celebrated tomorrow. George, thank you very much for being on the station today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. It's great to be back.
So my first question is, what exactly is Landscape Architecture Day?
Well, it's a day that's organized by the professional associations for landscape architects, and it's going to be taking place nationwide. There'll be events all over the country, and it's basically to raise awareness of what landscape architecture is and the role that it plays in planning and developing urban areas and communities.
And you're having a special celebration tomorrow at Marion Park from 11 o'clock till 1 o'clock. What's going to happen in the open house?
It's going to be beautiful and sunny, first of all, and so everybody should plan to be there. But it's going to be, like you said, from 11 to 1. And we're going to be, it's actually being organized by the landscape architects who work for the City and Borough of Juneau at the Engineering Department and their professional association here in town. And so Michelle Elfers and Sky Steckall will be there, and they'll be talking about their profession. They'll be have some information on some of the recent projects that have gone on here in town. And the main thing that the reason we're holding it at Marine Park is that there's going to be a lot of planning and a lot of changes in the future down at Marine Park, and this is an opportunity for us to talk about what that might look like in the context of landscape architecture, and a chance for us to talk to the folks who are down at Marine Park and use the park on a daily basis or use it every once in a while, the people who live here in Juneau, the people who are visiting here in Juneau, and see how they use the area and see how they would like to see it used in the future. And we'd like to incorporate that into the planning process as we move forward with the redesign of Marine Park here in the coming years.
A little bit of information about its past and present?
Yeah, it's, you know, in the long-range waterfront plan for Juneau, which was completed just a few years ago, Marine Park was looked at as being the village green for Juneau, or the town square, and it's a really unique space for our community, which is surrounded by such steep terrain. We don't have a lot of level open space that really can have the opportunity to form a living room or a front porch for our community, if you will, and that's what Marine Park has been envisioned as. The shelter that's there currently, my understanding is it was built in the 80s, and it was built with funding from the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which is a federal grant program. And the more recent improvements included the creation of the plaza area where the Maritime Festival most recently has been happening, and which is normally used in the course of the summer for the tour buses to come in and transfer passengers. That was developed along with what we call the wedding cake, which is that terraced area of concentric circles, which a lot of folks, some neat things about that is that that whole wedding cake area is actually built on styrofoam. It's on pilings, and so to reduce the weight, the understory, the structure and the fill is actually filled with foam, and it was designed as it was to provide a noise barrier to the bus operations that are going there and kind of shield Marine Park itself from the noise of that activity. It's just a really tremendously popular and important part of our community. You see folks down there in sunny days all the time taking advantage of the views and the weather when it's nice. It's got just tremendous potential, and where we're going from here is we're trying to follow the intent of the long-range waterfront plan, which is to look at the park as an entire canvas, and try to design something top to bottom that's going to be what the people of Juneau want, and something that will serve the needs of the people who live here and the hundreds of thousands of people who visit and pass right in front of it and right through it each day in the summertime.
And in that respect, you're having a meeting tonight at 6 o'clock at the advisory committee?
Yeah, it's kind of separate that the PRAC meeting is happening from this open house out at Marine Park, but the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee is going to be having a meeting tonight at 6 p.m. at the Assembly Chambers to talk about the possible relocation of the Juneau Fisherman's Memorial over to Marine Park, and that's being discussed in the context of the 16B proposal, which is the proposal to redesign and change the cruise ship docks downtown. And the like I say, the meeting's going to start at 6 p.m., and there'll be a presentation from the Docks and Harbors Port Engineer and also from our engineering staff at the city. And it's an opportunity for folks to come out in a public meeting and talk a little bit again about how they use the park and talk about the idea of potentially placing the Fisherman's Memorial there at Marine Park.
Been in the job about 6 months after being executive director of TrailMix, and they gave you three new parks to work with.
It's really, really exciting. You know, it's an interesting time to be in the parks and recreation field, but here in Juneau, it's really exciting. You know, we have the Seawalk project, the first phase of which was recently completed, that extended the Seawalk south from Taku Smokeries, and that project is on track to continue to the north toward the toward Marine Park and on toward the bridge. And the Marine Park project is going to be planned alongside that project, so that's really exciting. The other things that we're working on right now is that we've got a really great agreement with the Alaska Department of Transportation to develop Wayside Park at Auk Lake, and that has just tremendous potential, and we're in the very early planning stages of that, but folks will be hearing about it in the pretty near future. And there'll be lots of opportunities to come out and talk about it and find out what people would like to see out there. And with the recent consolidation of the public works facility into the Sunny Point area for the city, the former city shop underneath the Douglas Bridge is going to see a lot of changes as well. And the plan is to create a public park down there as well. So lots of things are going to be coming down the pike, and Marine Park, this is how that discussion begins, is talking to people about how they use the space and how they want it to be used in the future.
As far as parks go, what makes for good design and what makes for bad design?
Well, I think it comes down to is the park being used? Is it something that people really want? And so if you go into it, I think with the intent of designing the park first and then hoping that the use follows, it's not likely to be as successful as if you go and talk to people and see what they want, what they need, and design the park to achieve those goals. And that's why we start with asking questions. You know, how do you use the park today? How does it work for you? Or if we're talking about a brand new park, we want to find out what are we lacking in our community? What types of amenities and what types of parks would you like to see? And then we take that and we go back to the drawing board and we try and think about, well, how can we design this facility to achieve the goals that people want?
Part of the process is happening tonight at 6 o'clock.
That's right. That's it. Exactly. You know, and the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee meets every month on the first Tuesday. This is a special meeting specifically to talk about the proposal about the Fisherman's Memorial. But it is a great opportunity, you know, for folks to come out and talk about projects that are going on. And parks and recreation is such an important part of our community. I think people don't always realize all the different things that the Parks and Recreation Department here at the city does, you know, from the pools to the trails to the baseball fields, the arenas. It's everywhere, and it's something I think that touches all of our lives on a pretty regular basis.
I've been talking to George Schaff, a public parks and lands superintendent for the City and Borough of Juneau, about National Landscape and Architecture Day, which is going on tomorrow from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock at Marine Park. The celebration is anyway. The day will be celebrated in other ways across the country. A little brief overview of what's going to happen tomorrow.
Sure. So we're going to start at 11 a.m., and I've made a promise that if the weather's like this, I'll be bringing some coffee, hot chocolate out there. So if nothing else, you know, it's a good chance to take a break and just come outside, and if you're going to go for coffee, come on by and get it from me. But we're going to have a couple of tables set up, and we're just going to be talking about, you know, the current plan of Marine Park, how it is currently sited and situated. We're going to talk a little bit about the Seawalk project, which is really central to the future of Marine Park. The Seawalk has been a very high priority for the city over the years, and it's just incredibly exciting that now is the time where that project is moving forward, and it's just got such tremendous support, and it's going to really enhance our waterfront. And Marine Park itself is going to see an expansion as part of the Seawalk project. And there are just really some exciting ideas that people have been talking about to create a cultural gateway to our community, to talk about performance space, to carry on the tradition of concerts in the park and other types of musical events out there. And what we really want to find out is, how would you change it if you had the opportunity to go out there and with a blank slate, change what the park looks like? What would that look like to you? We want to get those ideas from the public rather than bring them to the public, really.
So make your voice heard tomorrow between 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock. If people can't make it but still would like to make comments, is there a place they could do so?
Absolutely. They can go to the Parks and Recreation website, and they can submit their comments directly through a form on the Parks and Rec website. They can get there at on the internet at juno.org. And they can also give me a call directly if they want to do that, and I can help them submit written comments. And my phone number is 364-3388.
George Schaff, thank you very much for coming down to the station.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me, and look forward to seeing everybody out there tomorrow.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 16th of August, 2011. It's the birthday of Catherine Coburn, born London, 1679. She was the daughter of a sea captain who died of the plague when she was 4. Family struggled to get by. She was precocious, taught herself to read and write at an early age, came out with her first novel at the age of 14, entitled Adventures of a Young Lady, published anonymously, wrote her first play when she was just 16, wrote her first philosophical essay, The Defense of Mr. Locke's Essay of Human Understanding, and John Locke was so impressed that he sent her money. It's the birthday of the children's fantasy author Diana Wynne Jones, London, 1934. Dyslexic, but did well in school, started making up stories for her sisters when she was a child, best known for her series The Chronicles of Crestomancy and Howl's Moving Castle in the mid-80s. It's the birthday of Lawrence of Arabia, T.E. Lawrence, Thomas Edward Lawrence, born in Traumatic Wales in 1888. His book, The Seven Pillars of Wisdom, was an account of his exploits as a military advisor to Arabs in their revolt against the Turks. It was the basis for the film, Lawrence of Arabia. It's the birthday of William Maxwell, the novelist, the editor, born Lincoln, Illinois, 1908, wrote about small-town, middle-American life in the early 20th century, editor at the New Yorker magazine, where he edited John Cheever, J.D. Salinger, Vladimir Nabokov, and John Updike. It's the birthday of Charles Bukowski, 1920, born in Andernach, Germany, to an American soldier, German mother, grew up in Los Angeles, abusive, alcoholic father, odd kid. He had a hard life. But at age 35, he started writing seriously, published his first book of poetry, Flower Fist and Bestial Whale, and published more than 45 books of prose and poetry in his lifetime. Left his job at the post office when Black Sparrow Press offered him $100 a week just to sit and write. Here's a poem for today by Linda Paston, The Ordinary Weather of Summer. In the ordinary weather of summer, with storms rumbling from west to east like so many freight trains hauling their cargo of heat and rain, the dogs sprawl on the back steps panting, insects assemble at every window, and we quarrel again, bombarding each other with small grievances, our tempers flashing on and off in bursts of heat lightning. In the cooler air of morning, we drink our coffee amicably enough and walk down to the sea, which seems to tremble with meaning and into which we plunge again and again. The days continue hot. At dusk, the shadows are as blue as the lips of the children stained with berries or with the chill of too much swimming. So we move another summer closer to our last summer together, a time as real and implacable as the sea, out of which we come walking on wobbly legs, as if for the first time, drying ourselves with rough towels, shaking the water out of our blinded eyes. The Ordinary Weather of Summer by Linda Paston from Carnival Evening, New and Selected Poems, 1968 to 1998, published by W.W. Norton and Company, used by permission here on The Writer's Almanac, produced by our technical director, Thomas Scheutzger. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Time is 3:21, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guest calls from Anacortes, Washington, Rosanna Metzger here. She's a voice coach for over four decades. She'll be in town on September 10th doing a workshop for people who have suffered a stroke, also suffering from Parkinson's disease. Rosanna, thank you very much for being on the show with us today.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Jeff.
First question is a little bit about your background and the program you started called Songshine.
Well, in terms of background, as you mentioned, I've taught voice for the last 40 years. I did a bachelor's, master's, and a doctorate in voice, and then started the last 10 to 15 years of my career working with otolaryngologists and speech pathologists, which coincided with being asked to start a program of music for Parkinson's patients specifically for Eisenhower Medical Center in Rancho Mirage, California, and that would be under the Traub Parkinson Center. And I think they were thinking in terms of maybe a sing-along, but because of my background in working with damaged voices and working also with Alzheimer patients, I began to ask myself the question, could a damaged voice that was neurologically dysfunctional or compromised, let's say, be redirected in the brain path to the hemisphere that doesn't normally process all of language? We know both hemispheres of the brain publish or work together to bring language into our mind, but could we circumvent that left lobe that wasn't functioning and switch over to the right lobe? And so that kind of was why I started working this aspect of things for Songshine. And then we added stroke victims, and pretty soon we added aging voices. We've also had some people show up with Lou Gehrig's, with Huntington's disease. I have not had any MS people, but I do understand that that can affect the voice. So it's a wide-ranging program that reaches out to a number of different people, and just plain aging voices can benefit from it as well.
So the left side of the brain and the right-hand side deal with music and voice and speech differently?
Well, let's put it this way. If I'm reading correctly, most people, the left lobe, left hemisphere of the brain is the primary processor of speech in terms of linear processing, function, words, exactness, keeping track of things. The right hemisphere of the brain tends to process language in large pictures. I was just reading the other day that all of us probably can remember exactly where we were either the day that John Kennedy was shot or the day of 9/11, because our brain processed a picture of what was going on. And so we can recall that. We can talk about that because the right brain or the right functioning portion of the hemisphere would be giving us this big picture, this emotional picture. And really, music itself is all over the brain, but in particular, song works through the pathway of the right hemisphere. And so that really is the avenue which we're working and which music therapists are working to stimulate the brain as well.
So much for the science and biology. What about the personal side of what you do?
The personal side, well, my dad had Alzheimer's. And it was so amazing to me that when he could not put together a single cogent sentence, nothing would make sense. Words didn't sound like words. At the same time, he and I could walk up and down the halls of the Alzheimer unit, and we could sing old hymns, and he could sing every word clearly. And so I knew that something was going on in the brain that was allowing him to recall and produce those words when he couldn't otherwise. And then just recently, my mom had a stroke, and by the time that I arrived, she'd had several multiple smaller strokes, and by the time I arrived, we couldn't carry on a conversation. But literally hours before she died, we sang songs that she learned when she was 7 or 8 years old. Her diction was clear. Her voice was strong. And so that I knew there was something going on. So from a personal side, that played into it. And then on top of that, I guess I love being able to help make people's lives better if I can. I think that's one of the reasons we all are here, is to do things to make life better, not worse. And so it's kind of my bag, I guess.
Talking with Ruth Anna Metzger from Anacortes, Washington right now. She'll be in Juneau Saturday, September 10th from 10 o'clock until 3 p.m. here at the KTUO Studios conference room to talk about a Songshine program. What's going to happen in the workshops, Ruth Anna?
In the workshop, anybody who wants to come that's in any of those categories, and that does include aging voices, we will be using vocal exercises called Vocalese. We'll be using some respiratory therapy exercises. We will do some things with posture. And we'll look at some different components of speech, things like consonants, which break down into plosives and fricatives and approximants, all of which really are our good friends. I like to liken what we're going to do to being a kind of an athletic activity, and we're all going to become vocal athletes. At the same time that we're doing this, we're going to sing songs, and the songs that are in the textbooks that I've written are songs that are drawn from music theater, from Broadway, a few folk songs, that type of thing, that will augment what we're doing. And then along with that, because I don't want to overtax and totally wear out everybody, there will be some PowerPoint presentations, and for example, we will be looking at slides of mountains, and then we will move our feet. We'll go hiking in the mountains. We'll go to the seashore. We'll practice some respiratory therapy things by looking at pictures of waves coming in and making sounds that would be sounds to imitate the waves. So we'll be breathing in and then shh, and at the same time seeing beautiful slides. And it's a variety of things. We're even going to teach you some hand jive and do some jailhouse rock. So it's really varied. And we also are serving lunch. And we'll take breaks so people have a chance to stretch. If they need a nap or they're on a downtime and they have Parkinson's, they can do that. And we will accommodate them and hope that they are tremendously blessed. I've actually seen people in 35 minutes go from not being understood to being understood.
The workshop happens Saturday, September 10th from 10 o'clock until 3 o'clock. There's a fee for that. It's $100, and that includes a workbook as well as a music stand and 3 CDs. If you need more information on that, you can go to the email, junoparkinsonsgroup.com. Excuse me, that's junoparkinsonsgroup@gmail.com. Ruth Anna Metzger, I thank you very much for being on the show with us today. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
No, other than the fact that I love to work with people, and I am really excited about getting to come up to Juneau, and it's, I think, going to be a great day. So I encourage anybody with voice issues, and as I said, even if it's just an aging voice that's been compromised, come on and join us, and we will teach you what to do to be understood clearly.
Susanna, thank you very much for being on the show with me today.
You're welcome.
I could just sit around making music all day long. As long as I'm making my music, ain't gonna do nobody no harm. And who knows, maybe I'll come up with a song to make people wanna stop all the fussing and fighting long enough to sing along. I believe in music. Oh, I believe in love. If you know what I mean, people who believe in music are the happiest people I've ever seen. So clap your hands and stomp your feet and shake your tambourine and lift your voices to the sky. Tell me what you see. Hey, I believe in music. Oh, I believe in love. I believe in music. And love is the key to peace, hope, and understanding, and living in harmony. So grab your brother by the hand and sing along with me, and lift your voices to the sky. Tell me what you see. I believe in music. Oh, I believe in love.
Hi, I'm Governor Sean Parnell, inviting you to join me and Sandy at the Governor's Family Picnic. It's happening Thursday, August 18, from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Sandy Beach Shelters in Douglas. Dinner's on us, and we're here to serve you. So bring the whole family and come enjoy some free food and entertainment, as well as activities for Alaskans of all ages. I'm looking forward to meeting you, Juno. See you at Sandy Beach on August 18th from 4:30 to 7:30. Come on out to the Governor's Family Picnic.
Time is 3:33 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juno here on a Juno afternoon. Our next guest comes to us by the telephone from his office. Keith Levy is organizing the Nifty 50K run and relay. Keith, thank you very much for being on the show with us today.
Thank you.
So an overview of the event, please.
Well, it's a 50K race. It's a total of 31 miles. It starts and finishes at the Eagle Beach Picnic Shelter this Saturday, the 20th, starts at 9 a.m. People can run it either the whole thing by themselves, or there are three separate legs, so it can be done in teams of two or three as well.
How many people have to be, how long do they have to run per leg?
Leg one is basically on the Windfall Lake Trail. It's 9 miles. Leg two is the Herbert Glacier Trail. That's 10 miles. And the third leg goes out the highway. It's on the road, and it's about 12 miles.
How does one train for that? Just run?
Run. sure. Do a lot of distance running, slow distance.
Well, what's the key to running a long distance versus a short sprint?
Well, for me, it's something that we old guys like to do when you're not as fast as you used to be, and it's just, you know, you do a lot of trail running. You're not pushing as hard, so it's really about endurance, spending hours out on the trail.
Is there a fee to sign up for the race?
It's $5 per person, $8 the day of the race.
And can they register ahead of time?
You can sign up ahead at Pavitt Health and Fitness, either location of the Alaska Club or at the Nugget Alaskan Outfitters.
Do you have any strong contenders who have signed up so far?
Well, you know, I hear rumors about who's going to run it. Last year we had 5 people run the whole race solo, and the winner, who beat everybody, including the teams of 3, was Houston Laws. He did it in 3 hours and 51 minutes, and it's my belief that he's going to sign up again. So he's a pretty strong runner.
If people need more information, is there a phone number they can call?
You can call me at 586-1427.
Keith Levy, thank you very much for talking about the 50K Nifty 50 run. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Pray for sunshine for Saturday.
All right, thanks for being on the air with me today.
All right, thank you.
Driving through the night, chasing the morning light, the endless white lines as my guide. The color of the open road frees me from a heavy load. Now my family back home keep growing old. Another town, another side.
Just as soon as I know where they lie.
String band from their new CD Catch 23, before that the Spring Creek band from their CD Hold On Me.
Tonight on 360 North at 8, it's part 7 of Sharing Ground, Alaskans listening to Alaskans about subsistence. At 8:30, Stacy Thunder and Tad Johnson host Native Report, news from Indian Country. Then at 9, Echoes from Creation takes you on a profound journey through Alaska's pristine wilderness, ancient sequoias of California, and the lush beauty of the Pacific Northwest. Enjoy these programs and more tonight on 360 North.
This is Bird Note. The natural world sends us messages, if we are attuned to receive them. The Argonauts of the Western Pacific and Polynesia, when out of sight of land, knew where among the waves they were by feeling the rhythm of the swells coming up their backbones. To navigate the vast distances between tiny islands, these sailors also observed with great care the migration of birds. The great navigator, Harold Gatty, believed that the Hawaiians may have found their islands by following the spring migration of the golden plover from Tahiti to the Hawaiian chain as the birds returned to the northern hemisphere. Gatty also suggested that the migratory path of the shining cuckoo may have guided open ocean navigators hundreds of miles from the Solomon Islands southeast to New Zealand. On a beach on the North Island of New Zealand, you can find a monument to the great navigator, Kupe, who guided to landfall his ocean-going outrigger from beyond the northern horizon. Polynesian navigators often carried with them frigate birds, which they released and followed to land. Risking their lives, the ancient navigators counted on the birds' unerring ability to find landfall in the vastness of the great ocean. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Time is 3:45, and you are attuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guest is Kristen Bartlett from the Juneau School District here to talk about back-to-school activities. Kristen, thank you very much for being on the show with me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I'm sorry. There's your mic is on.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. So you haven't been able to take much of the summer off. You've been working away getting ready for school, eh?
That's right. Hopefully our teachers and students have had a restful time, and we've been preparing to kick off the new school year, which actually it's already begun for many of our principals, or all of our principals and many of our office staff. On Thursday, we'll see our teachers come back, and then next Tuesday, we'll welcome our students in grades 1 through 12. The following Tuesday, we'll have the kindergartners come back, the following Monday, we'll have kindergarten, and then the next Tuesday, all of the pre-K, preschool students will come back. So we're getting all the schools ready and excited to kick off a new year.
About how many students are in the school system this year?
Just about 5,000. There are probably about 4,900, which is pretty typical for our district.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things should parents be aware of as well as students?
Well, right now, if there are families that are new to the district, we have registration going on in all of our schools. All of the offices are open, and this week there's been orientation at both Thunder Mountain High School and Juneau Douglas High School, so students are getting their lockers and their student IDs, making sure that they have a full schedule of classes. So if you're in high school, head over to your high school and find out what your day for orientation is. New students can register at any time in the other schools, and there will be open houses starting next week at every school. Those will happen on a weekly basis at different schools up until the 20th of September. So all of the dates are listed on the Juneau School District website, and that is www.junoschools.org.
What kind of things do people have to do to get ready to go to school?
Well, usually people are very interested in the supply lists that are put out by each school, and I think that there are supply lists at different businesses around town, as well as on the front doors of schools. You can also find information about supply lists on your school's website, but I wouldn't get too worried about it if you're a parent, as long as the students have some paper and a pencil and a lunch. And the first day of school, the teacher will let them know just what they need. Bus schedules are another big topic, and those are all listed on the school district website, junoschools.org. They were also included in the back-to-school insert in the Juneau Empire on August 7th, and we will have some bus schedules available at the Nugget Mall this weekend at the back-to-school fair.
You mentioned lunches. What's the school district's lunch program like this year?
Well, it will be largely the same as other years. The price has gone up a little bit for school lunch for students. It's $3.25. In the past, it had been $3. We also have free and reduced price lunches for students who qualify. And in many schools, there's a breakfast program as well. Some schools have a volunteer breakfast, which is free, and then other schools have a breakfast that's part of our food service program. And the cost for the breakfast this year will be $1.75 for the full price, and there's also free or reduced options for breakfast as well.
What are the things on the homepage?
Well, you can find all of the open houses, the bus schedule, information about food service, the menus. Students always want to know what's on the menu. And information about Rally, which is our before and after school child care in the elementary schools. Rally is available for K through 5, and it's a licensed child care program. They also have a summer program, which is getting ready to wrap up tomorrow. They'll have a couple days off to shift between the summer locations and back to their neighborhood schools, and then Rally will open on the first day of school. Registration is going on now for the Rally program, and if you register before the first day of school, the registration fee will be waived. So That information on that can be found on our website or by calling the rally program at 780-1410.
One of the things I need to look at, or used to look at a lot, was the calendar to determine when the holidays were so impossible vacations might be planned.
Right. I know some students will be dreading the first day of school, but they can rest assured they'll get a nice long break in winter. That's going to be December 19th through the 30th this year, and that's included on the school calendar. The school calendar is available also on our website and at schools. This year we'll continue the practice of having early release Mondays. There'll be 16 early release Mondays on the second and fourth Monday of each month, except for December and May, which there'll just be one on the second Monday of the month. And those days are designed to give teachers a chance to work together and look at individual student results, schoolwork, and test data, and so we can make sure that we are meeting the needs of each and every student in our school district so that they can be successful, because we want to see every one of those 5,000 kids cross the stage of graduation and be ready to succeed beyond high school.
Sports?
Sports have started. We have many sports that have already begun. Last weekend we had all Juno football game, which was pretty exciting for the first time. Thunder Mountain High School versus JDHS, so all the players were from Juno. And tennis has started, cross country, swim, dive, football, cheer. There are lots of activities that are already underway.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is, yeah.
Just about makes me want to go back to school, just about, though, not enough.
Well, we always welcome the community into our schools, so you should come by and volunteer or hang out, walk the halls at lunch. It's always fun to go into schools.
Well, tell me a little bit about the volunteer program for schools.
Well, every school has different needs. There are some schools who have, particularly in the secondary schools, welcome community members in at lunchtime to walk the halls and talk to students, make sure that everybody's getting something to eat and sticking around. And lots of elementary schools have opportunities for people to come in and read with students or help teachers do special projects. In high schools, there are lots of opportunities for people to come in and talk about their specific profession or maybe hobby or travel that they may have recently completed. So there are lots of varied opportunities. We also have opportunities for community members to participate in advisory committees for specific areas of study in the high school, and we also have a volunteer drug testing program that is run solely on the donations and contributions from the business community, and so we really appreciate that.
And Kristen Bartlett, coming from the school district, anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Nope, just go to the Juno School District website to get any information that you need, and if families out there have young children who will be 5 by September 1st and they haven't registered for kindergarten yet. Kindergarten starts on the 29th of August, but stop by your neighborhood school and let them know that your child will be attending so they can get them placed into a class. Typically, the first week of school before the kindergarten starts, teachers will meet one-on-one with students so they'll be comfortable when they get there on the first day.
And I understand next week we have Superintendent Glenn Galbraith who will be in the studio.
He will be here on the first day of school.
All right. Thank you very much for coming by, Kristen.
All right. Thank you.
Here it comes round the corner, big and yellow and loud. Can't you hear it? The school bus coming to pick up the school bus crowd. It's very quiet on 4th Street. Kids are all up in bed. Then Mama bangs on the bedroom door, and this is what Mama said. Get up, get up, get up, get up. She makes an awful fuss. Get up, get up, get up, get up. Don't miss the bus. Make a run. right on to Main Street, round the circle and back. Can't you hear it? The school bus coming over the railroad track. Sleepy heads on 4th Street are tumbling out on the floor. Wash your face, brush your teeth. Oh no, there's a line at the bathroom door. Get up, get up, get up, get up. You're making me nervous. Get up, get up, get up, get up. Don't make you back. Betty Baker drives the bus. Betty Baker's neat. But Betty waits for no one, so you better move your feet. Panic time on 4th Street. This is no time to play. Grab your backpack and drink your juice, cause the bus is blocked away.
Have you seen my viola?
Don't forget your homework.
Oh no! How do you lose a viola?
Come on, it's time to go. Betty turns on 4th Street. Mama getting upset. The bus comes screeching to a stop. Kids, aren't you ready yet? Hurrying, scurrying down the stairs. The bus door's opening wide. With a
hello, Betty. Goodbye, Mom.
They disappear inside. Get up, get up, get up, get up.
Get up,
get up, get up, get up. Don't miss the bus. You can miss your mama, miss your daddy, miss your Uncle Gus. You miss me and I'll miss you, but don't miss the bus. You can miss some sleep, mystify and miscellanea. You can misbehave and misconstrue, but don't miss the bus. Don't miss the bus. Mama be furious. Don't miss the bus.
And you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also broadcast on these translators. In the Valley and Ock Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait here, KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. And in Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. KRNN can be heard at digital channel 872, and KXLL can be found at 873. We are also online at ktoo.org. You can catch archive programs such as the Juneau Afternoon and other KT productions as well on that location. Tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau Afternoon, we'll talk to actors involved in this week's Whirligig show at the Rendezvous. We'll get the details about Thursday's Governor's Picnic, and Beth Weigel will get us in shape for this month's Beat the Odds run. At Writer's Almanac Music, and more tomorrow at 3 on KTOO News Juneau. With a forecast for tonight, rain diminishing later on with low temperatures around 48 degrees. Forecast for Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain and high temperatures around 57 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain and low temperatures around 48 degrees. Thursday, cloudy skies with a chance of rain and high temperatures around 61 degrees. Coming up next is All Things Considered. Thank you for tuning in to Juneau Afternoon today, and have a great evening.